I'm here with Thomas Petchel, a programming writer on the Visual Studio User Education team. Tell me about your role here at Microsoft.
So I'm a programming writer for Visual Studio. I write documentation and code examples for developers. For Visual Studio 2010, I'm currently focused on documenting new language features for the Visual C++ compiler, and I'm also focused on writing documentation for the concurrency runtime. I really like being on this team because it gives me the opportunity to kind of play around with and experiment with new features before they're released. It also gives me the opportunity to kind of distill them and make them more usable by customers.
Cool. So one of the topics you wrote is about Lambda expressions. Tell me a little bit about Lambda expressions in C++.
So there's a lot of cool new language features that went into the Visual C++ compiler for Visual Studio 2010, but I would definitely say that Lambda expressions are my favorite new feature. If you're a functional programmer, someone that works with functional programming languages, you'd probably be familiar with them. They're becoming more and more pervasive in managed languages such as C-sharp and Visual Basic .NET. But in C++, a Lambda expression, you can think of it as kind of an anonymous function that maintains state and can access the variables from the enclosing scope. They have a very succinct syntax. So they're great when you would normally use a function pointer or a function object.
Great. Can you show me an example?
I'd love to, sure. In this example, I use a Lambda expression to initialize an array of integers. So first off, I'll create an array that contains 20 integers. And before showing you the new Lambda expression syntax, I'll show you how to initialize the array using a function pointer. So although you can easily initialize the array using a for loop, we'll use the stlgenerate function. The generate function takes a begin iterator, an end iterator, and a function pointer. We'll call it next. Now I'll write the next function. The next function will simply return the next number in the sequence starting at 0. Now we'll print out the value of the next element. To compile and run this example, we get the value 20 as expected. Now, although this works great, it has some disadvantages. First of all, functions can't maintain state, so we have to have a global variable to store the next element. However, by writing a global variable and a global function, that serve a very specific purpose, they're not really reusable, and it can cause maintenance issues in your code. The next thing I'll do is use a function object or functor to accomplish the same task. First, I'll create a local variable to store our counter, and then I'll call the generate function. I'll provide the begin and end iterators again, and this time I'll provide our function object. I'll call it generator. I'll pass the counter by reference. And while we're here, I'll also print out the value of the next counter. Now let's create our function object class. In the private section, I'll declare a reference to our counter variable. In the public section, I'll define the constructor. Which also takes a reference to our counter. Now I'll implement the function call operator that returns the next element in the sequence. To compile and run this example, we still get the value of 20 as we expected. And although this technique works well, it has some disadvantages. First of all, writing functor classes can be tedious and time-consuming. It can also cause errors in your program. For example, I might have forgotten to pass our counter variable by reference. So I just showed you two ways to initialize an array, one using function pointers and one using a function object. Now I'll show you how to do the same task using a Lambda expression. So this example looks similar to the previous, except that we'll use a lambda expression instead of a function object. So here, when I create the lambda expression, I state that I want to capture the stack by reference. My lambda expression takes zero parameters. And in the body of our lambda expression, we simply increment the counter and return it. If we compile and run this example, we get the value 20, just as we did before. So as you can see, lambda expressions have a very compact syntax and have several advantages over function pointers and function objects. So now I'll show you an example that does something more. This example looks similar to the previous example, except that I've commented out the line that prints out the next variable. I've also added additional header files. I also provided a utilities header that defines the isPrime function, which simply determines whether its input value is prime. In this example, we'll compute the sum of the first 20 prime numbers. To do so, we'll use the accumulate function. The accumulate function returns an integer. And takes the begin and end iterators of our array. It also takes an initial value as a third parameter. And for the fourth parameter, we'll specify our lambda function. Here we provide the empty capture list because the lambda expression doesn't use the variables from the enclosing scope. And our lambda expression also takes two parameters, the current accumulator value and the next value in the sequence. In our lambda expression, we'll simply return the current accumulator value plus the next value in the sequence if that number is prime, otherwise we'll return zero. Now let's print out the sum of the first 20 prime numbers. If we compile and run this program, we'll see that the sum of the first 20 prime numbers is 75. So as you can see, lambda expressions have a succinct syntax that overcomes many of the disadvantages of function pointers and function objects.
Great, thanks, Thomas.
My pleasure, thank you.